Yes, I made that point of fitting things in because he's here again this afternoon. Chris Parry, our expert travel exponent, I must say, back from obviously another whirlwind trip somewhere or other. And I called you Craig earlier too, by the way. I have to fess up to that. I'm sorry.
That's right. Hang on. I'll just let Craig out. Thanks, Craig.
Thank you, help.
I thought there was two of them in that jumper that you're wearing. You're wearing the Bulldogs jumper, and they're winning.
They are. I think it's round about half time. I think they're about 50-odd points up down at Fremantle Oval against the Sharks, the real derby that counts.
Oh, okay. Well, South actually, yes, it's third quarter, and they're only about 10 or so goals in front at the
10
moment.
10 or so, that'll do me.
Yeah, that'll do.
That'll do me.
That's, the Bulldogs are doing well.
Yep.
Now, let's talk about this. What do we seek when we want a view from the top? I mean, is it for fitness or what? What do
it's
you reckon?
It's interesting, isn't it? I think the view from the top as a traveller, I think there's something in there about wanting to see as much as you can, the biggest view from the top.
Right.
Sometimes you might be doing it for a bit of fitness. But I think more often than not, we seek out the view from the top to see as far as we can and to have that sense when you're in a foreign land, you know, whether it's a town down south or a foreign land overseas, we want that sense of conquering something. We've been to the local lookout. When I was growing up, Lion's Lookout in my local town was the high point.
Right.
And that's where you could look over the town in the valley.
Yes.
And then on school holidays, spent a lot of time down at Rockingham. And Point Perrin has a hill, and on top of that hill, there's a wonderful lookout where you can, which stretches north to Perth and Garden Island Naval Base and Shoalwater Bay and Safety Bay. And as beautiful as the view was, it was the urine-soaked environment that you were in, you know, at that lookout. A lot of lookouts back then seemed to be a high point for people to have a wee.
Oh, really?
So I'm sure there must be people out there that can remember, like me, going to a lookout and having the view and having your eyes water at the stench of stale urine as well. I want to hear those stories. I want to hear about the lookouts that you've been to. Yeah. They have a wonderful view, but a horrible stink.
It just sort of takes away from the romance of the...
It does a little bit.
The travel and the experience, yes.
Yeah, I think...
Urine-flavoured.
These days it's a little bit cleaner. Certainly my memories are of acrid-filled nostrils of...
This is surely not on every lookout that you've gone to, is it?
Look, there have been a few, but I certainly... My childhood memories of Point Perrin back then and... were certainly like that. It's a lot better now.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of lookouts you go to now that won't have that.
I mean, in Kings Park, surely not.
No, look, the DNA Tower. I've got wonderful memories of climbing up that from school camps and or just picnics on the Sunday afternoon with whoever was on my arm at the time. You know, you take a stroll up the DNA Tower. It's a wonderful, wonderful feature. But even Mount Eliza itself is one of, you know, this state's best viewing points as well.
Yep. What about Zigzag Road in Gooseberry Hill?
Love that because you don't even have to get out of the car.
Oh,
you can just drive up to the hills and make your way down Zigzag Road, which is in Gooseberry Hill.
Right.
And you do it slowly. It's just one way. Pay attention when you're doing the hairpin turns there. But it's got one of the best views out over the plains, and you just look at that CBD of Perth and realise we're just hugging the end of a continent. It's a beautiful view.
Yeah, and, of course, Optus Stadium now, you can have the roof experience, can't you?
Yeah, I've done that one.
Oh, have you?
A lot of fun. So there's a lot around there to do. My son and I have also done the view from Muttergarup Bridge.
Yes.
Done the zip line across there. That's a great view. But, yeah, you can do the lean out. So you walk around the rooftop of Optus Stadium and with a cable and a shackle, you can lean out over the edge with your arms spread wide and handball a footy if you like.
Okay. Yeah. I see. Actually, just sent me a photo where he's right up to the minute here, folks.
I look pretty good there, don't I?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Got the scarf around your neck from the Bulldogs, of course. You're wearing a hat. What's that say, Bozo? On the, oh, no, sorry. It's that's ozone. Yeah, sorry. I apologise.
So that's a pretty good experience to have here in Perth, and you know, and just adds to the excitement of game day.
Right.
To have that sort of experience.
And the other one you sent me here, resplendent in the pink shirt.
Love my pink polo shirt.
Yeah, it looks about the same size as a beanbag. He's looking here. Where was that?
That is at the Monument in London last year.
Oh, we're overseas already.
Yeah, so the Monument is remarkable. It's quite thin. It's more like a big pole, and it's there to memorialise the Great Fire in London,
mm-hmm.
Which was 1666. And the actual monument itself, hopefully a few of our listeners have heard of Sir Christopher Wren. He built most of London, designed a lot of it. So he designed the monument, and it's a twisty little 311 steps that go up the top, and it gives you an amazing panoramic view of London. So a lot of people go straight to the London Eye, which is another one of those iconic things you can use for a lookout. You go up in the London Eye and you're looking down over the Houses of Parliament and everything around there and the Thames. But to go up the monument, that's something a little bit different, twisty and turny, and gives you a panoramic view of London that is magnificent.
Yeah. When you say it's quite thin, it doesn't sway or anything, does it?
No, it's made of solid stone, but it's a bit like a really narrow lighthouse.
Okay.
So it's a round column
that's
got the steel staircase winding up on the inside.
Interesting. I didn't mean to leap out of Australia overseas immediately, but you did.
We can stay overseas. We can leap back to Australia if you want.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you're talking about towers and things, and I've been up this one, the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, isn't that a good one?
Yeah, I'll say.
Yeah. That's probably as iconic as it gets. It's the most visited, viewing platform in the world.
Yep.
That is charged for.
Yes.
So there's a few others around the world you can get up for free.
Yep.
But to buy a ticket to just get a view, that's the one that's the most popular in the world and the most iconic. And you can go up a couple of different levels there, from the very top to sort of that mid-hip point, if you like.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I saw the Eiffel Tower, and it was at night, and I remember sitting on the grass with my wife just watching it. And we thought, okay, we've seen it enough. And we got up to walk away and we didn't realise that it lit up. And it was just the most magical moment. So even by night, you've got this wonderful viewing platform that attracts people.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, what it gives you obviously is that iconic sense of I was here, I was in Paris. But you can also just spend your time just looking at the wonderful way Paris is laid out. It's a very different city, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the thing that really caught my eye when we went to as far as you could go on the Eiffel Tower is the actual height of all the buildings in Paris. I mean, you know, they're all about three stories only, maximum, and then the odd one which has been built later in their existence, of course, is a bit taller.
Yep.
But you can see forever. It's as flat as, isn't it?
It's still mostly got that sort of 18th century sort of look about it. You can see off in the distance where there's a few sort of typical CBD towers, things like that. But, yeah, it's a wonderful city and it lends itself to having a good view to look over it. So the other one in Paris is Montmartre up on the hill, which you can sort of see from the Eiffel Tower, but the Eiffel Tower itself is just so iconic, and I think it's a great example of why we like a view, and it's just the opportunity to see as far as you can and to say, oh, I've been here and I've conquered this place.
Yeah. The view from the restaurant's pretty good as well.
Not bad,
particularly when you're looking at the beverages that are on offer. I found, we've got Marcus on the line who would like to ask you a question. Wants a recommendation from you, Chris. Good afternoon, Marcus.
Afternoon, boys. How are you?
Going well.
What would you like to ask the lovely chap?
Yeah, Chris, just wondering if you had a recommendation for a small group tour company for Sri Lanka for my mum. She's looking at going over solo, and we're having a look at a couple, but just looking sort of age appropriate tour company for Sri Lanka.
Got a few in mind, and I might ask for some contact details, and I can get back to you with a few, because it probably needs some broader discussion as well, because Sri Lanka being a wonderful sort of island environment, and I'd suppose that your mum, I'd love to know sort of what she's looking for. Is she looking for a tour that is cultural? Is she looking for something that's sort of resort focus? Is she looking to just sit on a beach for the full time she's there with the people she's going with? Does she want to travel by train? Sri Lanka's great for train journeys as well. So there's a lot of sort of areas to explore with different focus groups. And what I love to do is narrow that down to focus groups that can do the bespoke requirements that would meet your mum and the group's requirements.
Sounds good. Yeah, if you want to chat after, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So how long is she going to spend in Sri Lanka?
About 2 weeks, and wants to have a bit of a cultural experience, but obviously and a more comfortable type tour. So it's not a shoestring budget type tour, just something that's going to be comfortable and suit.
She not interested in attending any cricket that's there? There's a Gaul's got a great cricket ground.
You're not the first to ask, but no, I think she'll be all right with missing that.
Yeah, okay. Hey, look, I'll be in touch with you and we'll talk about some sort of bespoke groups that work really well in that sort of environment.
Okay, I think Kane's got your details, Marcus, so I'm sure that Chris will get back to you very shortly. Good on you. And thanks for joining us today. All right, so we just slipped into Sri Lanka for a moment. We were heading towards somewhere else.
Yeah.
Where were we? Singapore.
Singapore, not too far. There aren't a lot of views to be had in Sri Lanka, so I'm glad we didn't go down that road. She's a bit flat. Over there. But Singapore's wonderful because that's got the iconic Singapore Eye, a bit like the London Eye as well.
Right.
And also Marina Bay Sands. Have you been up there?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, okay.
No.
So you've got restaurant and infinity pool like that over the Marina Bay Harbour. But the gardens by the bay, which, you know, they have been up in Singapore for what must be around 15 years or more now, but they've got a magnificent way, like a walkway that's elevated. It must be more than 20-odd metres up in the sky, and you walk along that and book a ticket and do it by night because the structures in the gardens by the bay light up.
Right.
So you're not just looking at a garden by night. There's a light show as well. And, that's a magnificent experience, whether you're on your own or travelling with a partner, but particularly for a family. That's a great adventure to do the gardens by the bay and enjoy the view of the gardens of Singapore.
Yeah. Whilst you're up there, folks, I hope you don't take a leaf out of Peter's book from Belmont. He's just let me know here that he relieved himself off nature's window in Kalbarri a couple of years ago. Young and dumb, he said, and then as he apologised.
I'd like to know if he was there in 1998, because that's about the time I was at nature's window last, and there was a bit of an aroma there then.
Was it?
Yeah.
And it wasn't yours.
No, it wasn't mine.
You didn't leave anything behind.
But that's a great natural view, that one. Yeah. They've now obviously got the platform that they put in place, which is one of WA's greatest attractions,
absolutely.
Man-made attractions.
Yeah,
and we've discussed that one before. But that nature's window is a beautiful feature.
Yeah. We're going to take a short break here. We'll be right back with our esteemed travel expert, the one and only Chris Parry, very shortly here with Virgo and Perth 6PR.
On Perth 6PR, this is The Catch-Up with John Burgess.
And it's very nice to have you with us, joining us this afternoon. Our travel expert extraordinaire is Chris Parry. We're talking about getting up and about and literally and having a look at things. We were sort of talking about some of the things overseas still at the moment. The KL Tower, of course, it's spectacular.
Yeah, that's one of my favourites, actually. I think when a lot of people go to KL, they go to the Petronas Towers,
yep.
And there's a viewing point in itself. You can walk across the link between the two. But if you want to get a really good view of the Petronas Towers, go to the KL Tower, which is 276 metres tall and has got a viewing deck, and it's got a glass platform
right.
that you can walk out on. So you're walking on glass and you're surrounded by glass. I've just sent you a picture of me lying on the glass. so you can look straight down at the ground.
Right.
So you have a bit of faith that the glass isn't going to break, that people heavier than yourself have been before you. have a bit of faith and cross the fingers. But that's a really good one to do.
I'm sure people down below looking up at you lying down on that would have gone, look out, he's coming through.
What is that?
I
really enjoy the KL Towers. It's just spectacular by night. And even if you find yourself, wherever you're staying for accommodation, if you've got a view of that tower, it lights up by night, changes colour and all the rest of it. It's a great focal point for the city to get your bearings, but a really good viewing point platform to take advantage of as well while you're there.
Absolutely. And if you want to go really tall.
Really tall.
And you're in Dubai.
Yeah, and I think this might be the one that Tom Cruise did his suction cupping down the side of as well. That's the in Dubai, of course, and it's over half a kilometre high. It's the Burj Khalifa, 555 metres. And I haven't done that one, so that's got to be on my bucket list for a view.
I was there when they were building that and couldn't believe it. I could not believe it.
Was that when the pyramids were being built?
Oh, no, not quite. it just got... It just kept going. You go to bed at night, you get up and it'd be another five or six stories taller. Wow. They work quick there.
Yeah.
But, that is a remarkable piece of architecture.
It is. I think what I remember most about the building is, didn't they have Roger Federer have a game of tennis from the top, from the very roof?
Or he might have done that not on that particular building.
They lost, what, six ball boys?
Yes.
Who ran to get the ball? Yeah.
Boom, boom.
Missed out on the boom tish for that one. I thought that was even funnier.
Yeah, it's well. goodness me. Thanks very much, Ethan. Yeah. All right, well, we might head back home then.
I reckon we come back home. I reckon that some of my best memories are still with lookouts here in WA.
Yep.
We do love a good lookout. A couple of our best ones are trees. So you've got the Gloucester tree and the Dave Evans bicentennial tree, both of them down south,
right.
And they're the world's tallest fire tower tree lookouts that are open for people to climb, and they give you that view above the forest canopy.
Yeah,
and that's just a wonderful thing to do. Take your time, do it slowly, take some water. And don't look down.
Don't look. It's scary enough if you're going up inside something, but when you're climbing up on the outside.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On what do they put in? They're just
rusty old pegs.
Pegs, and they still pegs.
Just from some old railway line somewhere. Some old pegs.
Probably something a little more safer, but it's spectacular because the lighthouse on Rotto.
The Wadjimup lighthouse.
Yeah.
I took my son Tom up there with a pair of binoculars and the view there, that's just extraordinary to be able to look out, obviously over Rottnest itself, which isn't that big, but the entirety of our coastline from, you can just about see Mandurah and then off you go looking as far as sort of Yanchep and Two Rocks on a beautiful day and to look out to sea, and if it's whale season, you can spot whales as well.
Yep.
It's a beautiful view from the top there. Lighthouses are great platforms.
Yes, they certainly are, and that's a nice part of the world, isn't it? One of the best, I think, love Rotto. We could just pop back into Melbourne. The Sky Deck they have on Aurora is...
It's called it's a big tower.
Yeah.
It's a big building right in the CBD, and the Sky Deck... It's a lot like the one at the KL Tower.
Right.
But the funny thing about the Sky Deck is when it wheels out that platform that you're on, it does like an antique-y, like a drawbridge of a castle being put down.
Yeah.
Makes sound effects as if it's about to collapse.
Right.
Which is just a bit of fun, particularly for the kids that don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
But that, again, for getting your bearings and to say, I've conquered Melbourne, giving you that panoramic view of Melbourne, Sky Deck's a great one to do if you drop into Melbourne for any time at all.
Yeah, fantastic. And also, I guess we should not forget the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
No.
Have you climbed that?
I have climbed that. Yeah, loved it. You've got to wear overalls for that too, a bit like the ozone at Optus Stadium. You can't take your own camera or anything. They take pictures for you.
Right.
But it's and so that's a great opportunity to sort of not be just looking at your phone the whole time or taking pictures. You walk up with a group of people right to the very top. It's not as hard as I thought it would be, but I don't think there's anything more iconic in Australia that you could seek to climb to get a view and to just be at the top and to look at that harbour and to watch a Manly ferry, you know, make its way from Circular Quay.
Yeah.
There's certainly something magnificent about that.
Yeah, no question about it. It's going wrong with my voice. It's starting to fail.
Along you okay,
with,
Craig?
Along with everything else. Yeah, I'm not gonna live that down for a while, am I? Calling you Craig Perry, who happens to be a good mate of mine, by the way, and a very fine one of Australia's best golfers.
No relation of mine.
No. Do you play golf?
I won a mini golf championship in Kalgoorlie in about 2000. Still have the trophy for that.
Really?
Yep. Yeah. No, not bad. I prefer to tee off a little bit like Happy Gilmore. Right. I'm better at cricket. I'm better at the getting onto my front foot and driving it through the covers.
Okay. Right.
So, yeah, I like to take a few steps to wind up.
Yeah, I didn't think we should go there talking about you driving it through the covers. But anyway, there you go. Mount Wellington in Hobart.
Yeah.
We should give Tassie, the Taswegians, a go because it is a very nice part of the world as well.
It is, and I think it's one of those great spots as well. It overlooks the capital. It's easy to get to the capital. You don't have to drive for hours to find a mountain. And quite often it's it's the marking of winter with snow. The same as here in WA. We scramble to get up Bluff Knoll. But Mount Wellington, when people in Hobart get up and they look up and they see a little white sheet at the top of Mount Wellington.
Yeah.
It marks that coming of winter, and it's a great and very easy opportunity for people to experience snow for the first time. If you take a break down to Tasmania and you've never seen snow, then getting to the top of Mount Wellington in winter, you've got the opportunity to plant your foot and do your angel in the snow and things like that.
Right.
Yeah.
The building in Melbourne I was trying to think about is called Eureka.
Eureka.
Now, I shouldn't have forgotten that because I lived there.
Really?
For a few years, yeah.
Okay.
We lived on the...
Didn't live on the sky deck.
No.
I wonder if that's why it made all those creaking
noises. They built the sky deck
whilst
we were still living there. But we lived on the 78th floor, by the way.
How many floors has it got?
82.
Wow.
It had, yeah. There was a restaurant up the top. And I can remember one evening, I was doing the lotto draw in Melbourne at Channel 7 there every Tuesday night and would leave home about 5:30 or 6 o'clock or something like that and to get there to do the draw around about the 7 o'clock mark they did it and came out to find that the lifts had been turned off because there was a sort of a restaurant come... centre, receptionist type centre where they had special events and what have you. Someone had left some towels or something in the dryer and they caught fire. So they had a bit of a small blaze.
And were you ever charged?
No. So they turned the lifts off. I had to walk down 78 flights of steps to get out of the building, to get in the car and go and do this lotto draw, And I don't mind telling you, by the time I got down the bottom, my legs, they were like jelly. I could hardly stand up. And I was thinking, if these lifts aren't working after I come home from doing the lotto draw, I'm staying in a hotel down the road here. I'm not going to climb back up 78 floors.
You should have called Steve McQueen. He was in the Towering Inferno, wasn't he? He would have got you down quick.
It was quite an experience, don't mind saying. But, so Eureka is one of the tallest buildings. And they do have that
Eureka
observation deck where they pretend to shatter the glass whilst you're standing inside it. Mm.
That's a good one.
Good experience. Yeah.
Burjo's Tower.
I was calling it all sorts of things, but certainly not Burjo's Tower that particular time. Because I was dressed in a suit and tie, because I was going to do television.
Yes. Did you loosen your top button?
Oh, gosh. I was in
Let
a
the
state
hair flow out over
I
the
got
top.
To Channel 7. I was soaking wet with sweat, and it wasn't a good draw that night. I don't mind saying, yeah, but somebody did win a lot of money, so that's good. Mate, great to talk to you as always.
And, as always, love it.
You keep coming up with these great experiences, so it's we always seek out different places and different ways of viewing at them.
Yep.
And you keep coming up trumps with some great ideas. So I look forward to doing it again soon, mate.
Check out the view from the top.
Okay. Thanks very much,
that guy.
That's Chris. Chris Parry, ladies and gentlemen, joining Burjo here on Perth 6PR.